There's nothing better than sports on a Sunday.
The return to glory.
It's time to kick off.
20, he will score!
Tip off.
Way downtown, bang, bang!
Or tee off.
They're going to go nuts when he hits this thing.
Yeah! On Sunday Huddle with Colin Russo, presented by Hard Rock Bet.
A Monday edition of Sunday Huddle on ESPN 106.3. Good afternoon, good evening, I should say, ladies and gentlemen. Colin Russo here. We got Kate Chumson with me behind the glass at the City Place Studios. We're in downtown West Palm Beach. On your radio dial at ESPN 106.3. Also streaming live on YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter/X at ESPN West Palm. Sunday Huddle, of course, presented by our pals over at Hard Rock Bet. Go download the app today on the Google Play Store or the Apple App Store. Go to hardrock.bet online to get started. Hard Rock's the best, covers both ends of the spectrum. It doesn't matter that we've had the Stanley Cup and the NBA Finals now in closure, because now you can look ahead into the Club FIFA World Cup. You can look forward to the summer action in the WNBA, to the MLB regular season action. There's still a ton you could sprinkle action on. More importantly, you could sprinkle action on teams in the futures as well there. I mean, I saw even earlier Thomas Castellanos, the future starting quarterback for the Florida State Seminoles, talking smack about Alabama and saying that Alabama is not the same fearsome bunch now that Nick Saban is retired, because Alabama and Florida State play the first week of the season. And that's over in Tuscaloosa. Or not in Tuscaloosa, excuse me. That's in Tallahassee. But that's the first game of the season. Thomas Castellanos, who's the, remind you, the same guy who quit on Boston College in the middle of the season last year at quarterback, saying that hey, they're not the same fearsome bunch. Giving Alabama the bulletin board material at the beginning of the summer, at the beginning before, you know, summer workouts are really getting going. And they're going to put that on the thick of the whiteboard. And Alabama was minus 12 in that game. Last time I checked, I would hammer that right now on the Hard Rock Bet. You can too. Hard Rock, best part is you get $100 back in bonus bets. If your first bet does not hit, go get started on Battle the Bets. Try to get involved on taking part of the pot. They have $250,000 plus in the pot daily, and you just got to choose one side or the other, get your cash earnings back, plus a piece of the pie. $100 back in bonus bets, it's Hard Rock Bet. It's offered by the Seminole Tribe of Florida. Must be 21 plus, physically present in Florida, the wager. Terms and conditions apply. Considered by gambling, call 1-888. Admit it. Well, we're removed from Game 7 of the NBA Finals, the first Game 7 that we've seen the NBA Finals since 2016. Basically, the second of which we've seen in the last 10 years. And it was between the Pacers and the Thunder. The Thunder win pretty easily. Pacers were knocking at points in the second half. But after Tyrese Halliburton went down about 8 minutes into the game with a torn Achilles, that basically shut the door, unless the Pacers were really going to put together one of the most heroic, emphatic, come-from-behind victories you could ever possibly imagine. If they won last night, the Pacers, that is, if they beat the Oklahoma City last night in that environment, after losing Halliburton in the first quarter, we would be looking at one of the greatest wins in pro sports history. Fortunately, that didn't happen. I was rooting for the Pacers in that sense. I feel like we got robbed of a great game. That was my takeaway. The second Halliburton went down, wind got knocked out of the sails. I thought we were, that those first 8 minutes was taste of a classic, Cade. And it's a shame that he went down. You hope that he's going to be okay throughout his recovery. Thunder win now. NBA champions. I didn't have a ton of reaction to it. Everybody sort of expected this coming into the series. But my main takeaway after yesterday's game is I felt like we were robbed of a better game, of a greater game that could have been, but we didn't have due to injuries. That was my takeaway.
It felt very unsatisfying in a sense.
Right.
Because I agree with you. Man, he hit those first three threes, and you could tell that's all he wanted to do that night. He had the hot hand.
And he was when he's offensively inclined and offensively shooting well, he's a different player. You knew it was going to be one of those games
for him. And like his mojo was going, and you could just see it in his eyes almost that he was loving the lights. He was loving the energy. He loved turning that crowd completely silent. And as soon as he went down, the ball of movement was nowhere to be found. You found a little bit of it on their defensive side in that second quarter. I mean, you watch the halftime performance, and Stephen A. Smith was visually upset by how Oklahoma City was not taking advantage. And then OKC hits three straight threes in the third quarter, and that basically sealed the game for them. So shout out to Indiana for not letting the immediacy of Halliburton's injury get to them, but you knew Oklahoma was going to come out on fire in the third quarter, and the Pacers simply couldn't match it. It seems like like you said, everyone saw this coming. I'm super happy for Oklahoma City. This seems like a championship. If you take all context away, this has been a long time coming for this city, for this fan base. You talk about a organization that is in a small market. They're almost like, not the Green Bay Packers, but the sense that they're a small market that doesn't feel like they have a small fan base, if that makes sense. Their whole crew rallies around them. You saw all the blue shirts out there last night. So
good,
you're happy for them.
Good home crowd.
You're happy for that city. I have a lot of family in that city area. And so I know they're all excited.
Have you been to Oklahoma City?
Yeah. No, that's where my grandparents, a lot of extended family is.
Is it Thunder and then, you know, everything else?
Pretty much. Wow. No, the Thunder dominate a lot of that sports town talk, sports town anything.
That and Oklahoma football?
Well, no, it's split. It's Oklahoma State, Oklahoma. There's the real college rivalry, especially because Oklahoma City is centered right between the two college towns. Norman's to the south, and Stillwater, where Oklahoma State plays, is to the northeast. So in Oklahoma City, in the heart of downtown, the capital city, you get the real rivalry. But when anything else, it's the Thunder.
Okay, interesting. That's the middle ground. Was that yesterday's Game 7, was that more about the Thunder winning it or more about what could have been with what we saw with the Pacers?
It's more about what could have been, but too many people want to take away championships by what could have been.
Right, they can't control what happened, yeah.
The storyline is what could have been. The outcome, to me, is still the fair and square outcome. It's not like a ref did anything wrong. Like,
you gotta play the game. You gotta play the game.
Exactly. You saw this two other times with Damian Lillard and Jason Tatum. That's the game that we play. Injuries happen. Everyone knows this. Everyone is aware when they step on the court, something like this can happen. It's unfortunate that it happened to the guy that all eyes were on last night. And that's just how the Thunder are taking home their first championship.
Yeah. That would be my thinking too. You gotta play the game anyway. I give the Pacers a lot of credit for really playing with some guts. Part of you thought down 10 with 2 minutes to go that the Pacers had another one in them. That's just the type of expectation that they've levied upon themselves at this point with all the come-from-behind victories that they've had. You're thinking just a sliver of hope that this team could still rumble back and give themselves another shot. But without Haliburton, who has been their closer for the entirety of the postseason, that was a tricky come-from-behind situation. I feel for Haliburton. I feel for that fan base. Because to come so close, to have such a storybook run, and for it to sort of fizzle out the way it did because of an injury, that's just, you know, basketball's got to figure that out. I don't know. There's nothing you could do about the injuries, but these Achilles things, like, doctors got to figure it out. Team trainers got to figure it out. I don't know how freak it is. I don't know.
I think it's the other way around. I actually think coaches need to figure it out. I think there needs to be actual training on how to avoid these injuries.
Right. And I don't think these guys should ever play on hurt calves. I said it during Russo and Rizzo a couple hours ago. Treat it like concussions.
I heard you say that. I actually think last night had nothing to do with the calf.
I think it did. I don't know. Absolutely nothing. Because the same thing happened to Durant. Durant had the calf strain coming into the game, and he played the first quarter, and he tore his Achilles.
True that. But I'm going to show you guys a graphic real quick. If you go onto our YouTube stream, you can see our lovely faces. But also, I'm going to show a picture real quick. What you're seeing are three side-by-side comparisons of Halliburton's Achilles injury, Damian Lillard's Achilles injury, and Jason Tatum's Achilles injuries. They all look super similar. One leg is completely stretched back. The whole rest of their body is leaned forward because they're trying to make an immediate break with or without the ball. There has to be a way to coach this step out of players.
That's your solution? These guys can't burst?
They can burst. You just can't burst like this. You can't put your entire body weight on one heel of your leg. You literally, track and field athletes train for shorter steps. Football players train for shorter juke steps. In fact, basketball is one of the sports where you're supposed to get wide because that's what shifts the defender's hips more and more. Almost every other sport is short. It's concise. Base pass when you're playing baseball, when you're attacking the runner. Every other sport, you're kind of seeing this short, concise footage. I would like to see that in basketball because I think that is honestly a faster way on avoiding these type of injuries rather than just, oh, your medical staff has to figure out how to heal these better. How about just do the footwork better that'll protect yourself? In football right now, there are guys who are physically training on how to get tackled. quarterbacks in the pocket how to fall.
Yeah, football has the same problem, too. It's not like football's figured it out.
No,
like,
but there
are a lot of big injuries that have torn Achilles for them as
but
well.
But I'm not seeing trainers have to get better. I'm seeing players having to work around their problem. I think these players need to work around whatever this problem is right here.
Like, I'm not a doctor. I'm not a physical therapist. I don't know exactly what the answer is. But I do think there's a reason that this has happened a couple times now with guys who have calf injuries coming back on weak calves, and all of a sudden the Achilles just has a lot more stress on it, however you want to put it. I know it's the strongest tendon in the body, but these are freak injuries. I don't think it's a coincidence that he had a hurt calf, came back earlier than he should, and got hurt because of it. I think that would be the step one takeaways. I think that injury is going to be viewed as a little more serious. Maybe you're right. Maybe these guys need to perform a little less risk or movements that lend itself to this type of injury. But similar to how we started to figure out how to combat ACL tears, they still happen. It's still topical. But I don't think it's as frequent as it maybe was 5-10 years ago or as bad as it once was. I think the medical staff, in terms of doing surgeries, recovery, it's gotten a lot quicker. It used to be a 12-month injury. It's probably around an 8-month injury these days. I think that's another big step that medical practices, sports training is going to have to take with that with the Achilles injury, because that's a year injury right now. I think lessening that to 8, if possible, would be really beneficial. But you're right. It's that injury has hijacked a lot of the Eastern Conference for next year.
Eastern Conference specifically, it sure has.
And it doesn't happen all that often. Like, it hasn't...
No, it's fluke non-contact. That's the key. ACLs, like you just mentioned, majority of the time they're happening on hits. They're happening on twisted bodies in a pile. I mean, I'm a Houston Texans fan. It's literally how we lost Tank Dell last year when he got hit in the end zone. These are ridiculously weird non-contact injuries that I think they're all looking very similar, but because it's complete stress on the body, you're having to let the body be the thing that heals itself, and that's why they're taking so long.
There's got to be some sort of strength thing that they might, not neglecting, isn't as built up as it could have, that allows you to not deal with this, whether it's a better distribution of weight, like you said, or if it's just something.
Flexibility. This is what the tendon is. It's stretching itself out to where it can't go anymore.
Right.
So whether it's strength or just sheer flexibility, I understand.
I have a hard time believing NBA stars not being flexible. I don't. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe these guys are stiff. But they got world-class trainers, millions and millions of dollars of sport performance going in. What, these comparatively to the average person? Maybe they just have so much force and weight and strength that it just takes a lot more. But it's a shame because now it's hijacked three teams. The Bucks have a grim outlook because of that. The Celtics don't have a grim outlook, but that they don't have a championship outlook at the moment because Tatum went down.
No, they looked lost against the Knicks without him, too.
You're saying the same thing about the Pacers. You're saying the same thing about the Pacers, is that, yes, this team's probably a playoff team still. They played well enough in the game against the Thunder without Halliburton. I actually give them credit for how they played throughout the first half. They were leading going in. But it's one of those things where, all right, well, their outlook, their expectation just takes a major hit. I can't believe this turned into arguing about the fixing of an Achilles tear, but it's something the NBA's got to monitor for sure. You got to monitor how to keep these guys protected. That is too...
Protected on non-contact injuries?
I don't know. It's too impactful of an injury. It's hijacking too many big-time players for them not to notice. Something has to... I'm not saying something has to change, but in terms of how it's viewed amongst athletes, how it's protected against, proactively trained against, that something needs to change.
Now, to be fair, I did see a statistic before we came on air. Between 1999 and this year, there have been, I think, 44 Achilles injuries. The number is 1.36 Achilles tears in the NBA per year.
So that's the average between 99 and today?
Yes.
There's been three this postseason.
That's what I'm saying. We're having an extraordinary amount in amount of time.
Right, it's an influx of
You said, this is such a fluke injury that... Is just one postseason of bad Achilles tears going to force the NBA to do something?
Right. No, I don't. Do something is the wrong word. Be cognizant of what's causing these. Figure that out.
I think the players need to be more so than the league itself.
Totally. League, players, teams. I'm thinking broad scope.
Okay.
But I understand what you're saying. You're right. But, I mean, that is... it. play. What teams are not going to pay attention to that? They should. And I think it starts with the calf. I mean, it happened to Durant in this exact same scenario. It's literally him all over again. He came back probably too early from the calf. People were questioning whether he should come back, but I believe it was when they were down 3-1 to the Raptors because Klay got hurt the same game, or 3-2 had been. And he, the first quarter, tears his Achilles. He's done. He's out. And that's where you think, should he have played? Should Haliburton have played? You can't tell a guy he can't play in the NBA Finals, but now all of a sudden, we're not going to see you next year. That's where it gets hurt. And more importantly, this all circles back to the main point that I think we got teased yesterday with what could have been in that game because it was a pretty anticlimactic Game 7. That's the bottom line.
It also would have been completely different if Haliburton hadn't been fired from beyond the arc to start the game. If the Thunder immediately blitzed out to a 10-point lead and then Tyrese goes down, you're like,
this
okay.
This game had the shapings up to be a classic.
Oh, it was going
to
be incredible.
It was shaping up to be a classic, which is why you feel disappointed about it. You got to be disappointed. And that's why this storyline is a lot of it is the Pacers there and not necessarily the Thunder. The Thunder had a 68-win regular season. They have the MVP. They have the scoring champion, who is also the finals MVP. They're deep. They got 100 draft picks. They're young. The youngest team since 1977 to win a title. And they're not the main focal point in my eyes. And I think it's just because they haven't lent themselves to be the big-time story coming out of it. But I think the Pacers were just so exciting and people were just chomping at the bit for that type of run. You almost feel disappointed as a sports fan to see it end the way it did. If they lost fair and square, fine. But I'm not going to say it was not fair and square, but unfortunate circumstances completely derailed the game.
The two teams weren't playing at their greatest capacity.
And injuries are part of sports, and there's nothing you could do. That's the bottom line. But you got to think about what if. You got to think about it, right? You got to think about, well, if Haliburton played, it would have been a great... I just want to see a great game. That wasn't a great game yesterday. It was a good first half. It was interesting. Second, that third quarter happened. In the fourth quarter, yeah, they were in it, but they never really cut it down. After the midpoint of the third quarter on, that's when Thunder went on the run. 23-8, I believe. Game was over. But now you got to think about how the Thunder are probably going to be back next year, and they're healthy going into the offseason, mostly. They're going to be right back here next year, to it. So that's where you got to give the Thunder their props. It's a great defensive team. They have multiple all world defensive players. They're good offensively. They got the reigning league MVP. You got to give credit. But that was the Pacers' run to be had. That was their game. That was the ultimate finish to that run. It would have been one of the greatest championship runs we've ever seen in sports. I got to think about what if. That's my only perspective there. I got to think about what if.
Oh yeah.
Now, for you, Thunder here next year, but let's think about the Eastern Conference for a second. Bucks hurt. We talked about that. Celtics hurt. Pacers hurt. Driver's seat remains in whose hands in that conference to you? Is it Cleveland?
Well, Cleveland would be the team to think about.
Is it the Knicks?
Especially, well, if you think about Cleveland, they're on a very similar trajectory that OKC just had. The previous year, OKC, number one team, very young. No one really knew if they had the experience to win in the big moments. Sure enough.
Kind of got killed in a big game that went to the finals.
Yep. And now, Thunder, back at it, having an unbelievable regular season. They keep all of their core players.
A little a la Celtics.
And then they go on a run. Cleveland, I don't see them trading away any players anytime soon. Could pick up a few key members in a really weak Eastern Conference. That conference, in my opinion, is the Cavaliers to lose. Whether they actually make it, I can't say. But to me, I'm expecting the Cavs to take advantage of their weak opponents in the Eastern Conference.
Yeah, I would agree with you that it's the Cleveland to lose. That's a very good comparison you made about, hey, like the Thunder did the same thing last year. They're not as young as Cleveland is, but they're a up-and-coming team. A new coach, Atkinson, that was his first year. And they have an opportunity there, losing to the team that eventually went to the finals and lost. And then now they're going to have to look at Oklahoma City, who is a all-time great, or not all-time, but a recency bias great team, and they're trying to run it back. That's what the Celtics were last year.
Yep.
And the Celtics couldn't do it. Just for the sake of argument, before we go to break, I do think that Celtics team from last year would beat the Thunder pretty handedly if they played the series. Would you agree with that or disagree with that?
Oh, I'm not going to say that because I don't think
2024 Celtics versus 2025.
Oh,
OKC
okay, coming. Okay. I thought you were saying the Celtics this year, from this year.
2024, when they killed everybody.
Golly, I really want to say the Celtics, but that defense is unbelievable from the Thunder.
One thing about it is it went seven. It went seven.
I know. I felt like so much in this playoffs, the Thunder were playing with their food. Like,
maybe.
Right, like we had conversations over and over about picking losses and letting games go.
That's why I like the Celtics in that situation, because the Celtics killed everybody early.
I know.
They didn't let anybody breathe. And because it's because the Celtics had lost so many big series in years past on the Tatum-Brown Celtics teams.
Yep.
They sort of knew how to accomplish that goal. The Thunder were able to scrap their way to a championship, but you almost got the sense that this team hadn't been there all that often. They don't necessarily know how to operate in these playoff series. They had that one run where they went to the second round. Other than that, it's been a whole lot of nothing.
Yep.
Which is interesting because I got that sense after the game. I got that sense that this hasn't been a team that has lost constantly in the postseason that has been clawing for an opportunity to get a title.
No,
you got that sense with the Celtics. You got that sense with the Nuggets. You even got that sense with the Warriors in 2022. So in the Bucks, 2021, the last four champions have been teams that we have seen flirting with the postseason runs that haven't been able to close it out, and then they finally make that big run, and it's like a weight off their shoulder. I didn't feel that with the Thunder because they are so young that they haven't had the experience of that, which honestly goes to show that this team's probably going to be here for a while.
Yeah.
So get comfortable.
I honestly felt like we were not only gypped of a great Game 7, I thought we were a little gypped of a Western Conference Finals. I would have rather seen Golden State go up against the Thunder than Minnesota. As much as Anthony Edwards flashed everyone, as soon as Curry went down in that semifinal game against the Timberwolves, because Curry and Butler were doing something special, no matter if they had no bigs on them or not, they had the pedigree and the experience to go up against this young Thunder crew. That, to me, would have been a serious rivalry to reinvigorate.
That would have been fun. That would have been fun. Very curious on how the Pacers can react to this or respond to this. And usually game sevens in the NBA Finals are usually really great. And this one wasn't. It wasn't a back and forth battle by any stretch other than really the first half. But nonetheless, 2025 NBA champions, the OKC Thunder. But we got a lot of headlines to touch on. We'll do that on the flip side with Cade. But we're taking the time out here. It's Sunday Huddle on a Monday. Presented by Hard Rock Bet on ESPN 106.3.
Red right, 24 double Puma on one. Replay.
This is Sunday Huddle with Colin Russo. Presented by Hard Rock Bet.
Sunday Huddle presented by Hard Rock Bet on a Monday edition. Colin Russo, Kate Chumson on from the City Play Studios in downtown West Palm Beach. Just hearing the huddle cadences gets me ready for football. And what gets you ready for football more than bowl season? The 2025 Boca Raton Bowl, it's on the way. It's kicking off its 12th year this year. Tuesday, December 23rd at 2 p.m. at FAU Stadium. That is the official date and time and location of the 2025 Boca Raton Bowl. You're going to have two of the biggest and best teams from the group of five. They're going to battle it out to see who can win the title. It's going to air on ESPN. You can find more information today at BocaRatonBowl.com. Follow along on Twitter at Boca Bowl or Facebook.com/Boca Bowl for more updates as we inch closer to football season. The 2025 Boca Raton Bowl, it's Tuesday, December 23rd at FAU Stadium. All right, Kate, a lot happened over the weekend, including the Oklahoma City Thunder being crowned the 2025 NBA champions. We had the parade down in Fort Lauderdale for the Florida Panthers, where I think those guys have been drunk for about seven straight days.
Good night. That's all that social media is right now is dump, dump, dump.
They don't stop. Credit to them. We got a lot to touch on, a lot to bounce around with. Let's do a little, what do we want to call this? The blind ranking of our headlines? Are we bouncing around here?
Some headline blind ranking. We'll figure out a bigger name for this thing.
I like it.
I could see this segment sticking around a little bit when we get into football season. Some
what
of the
do we
bigger
got?
Games. All right, so I'm going to give you five headlines. You give me a ranking based on how much you liked them, how important they are.
One through five.
It's up to you. Number one, the Oklahoma City Thunder seal the deal on the NBA Finals, winning 103-91 in Game 7 against the Pacers. They take home their first Larry O'Brien trophy since moving to Oklahoma City.
This is number one. This is the safest one. I saved my number one slot for last time. but I'm going to take him off the board initially. OKC Thunder is the biggest story, biggest headline of the weekend. No brainer, no doubter, number one.
Moving on, number two. Just hours before a historic Game 7, the Houston Rockets finalize a block-busting trade for Kevin Durant. You heard me correct. Kevin Durant to the Houston Rockets. The Rockets send Jalen Green, Dylan Brooks, the number 10 overall pick in this year's draft, and 5 second rounders to the Suns. The Rockets are now tied for the second shortest odds at plus 800 to win the 2026 NBA Finals.
Number two. I feel like you got to go number two here. I don't like taking the first two off the board, but that was the biggest story going into the game. I think that's the biggest overall story. I think the Rockets actually made a good move there. If you thought they gave up too much because Jalen Green is young, please. That team needs to win a playoff series, and that team is looking to capitalize on a lot of good young players there before they have to pay all of them. Because of that, you got to capitalize tomorrow, opens up a max contract slot. Durant's not going to be there forever, so you got 2 to 3 years where you got to figure it out quickly, and they are a much better team with Durant than with Jalen Green. No doubter, but that's number two on our headline.
No, this is an easy one for me, too. I mean, Udoka working with Kevin Durant again. They had history in Brooklyn, I believe it was, and then Sagoon and Thompson. Amen Thompson was the guy to keep. If you had one young guy to keep.
Van Vliet is a champion, too. They got two guys who have won titles.
Seriously.
This is a sneaky, good little veteran group that they have leading the way on a young ship. We haven't even seen Reed Sheppard, who's the number three pick in last year's draft. So they got players still there. And Jalen Green was the worst player on the floor against the Warriors outside of game two. He was the worst player on the floor. He was that bad. And he's 23. Get it. But for a team that won 50 wins, what, do you want to do it again and not do anything in the postseason?
Yeah.
Keep trying it every year.
And everyone knows Dylan Brooks with Kevin Durant is probably just not the best.
Let's
best matchup.
I agree with that. Let's keep them
all right. Number three. We've already knocked out the first two slots. Number three. It was confirmed today that Tyrese Halliburton has, in fact, torn his Achilles tendon. It is uncertain whether he will play in the 2025-26 season.
I don't want to put out three. Yeah, I'm putting out three. Three.
One, two, and three.
One, two,
off the
and
board.
Three out. You're going to burn me with, like, you know, Trump going after. You're going to burn me in terms of highlighting the biggest story of the weekend. But this is number three. Halliburton, you turn his Achilles there. It was the story of the game for me. Thunder, of course, being the champion is the biggest headline. But the biggest story of the actual Game 7 itself was Halliburton going down in the first quarter. I think it took a lot of wind out of the sails of what the Pacers were trying to do. They were still in the game, but at the end of it, when they couldn't score, they were desperately looking for somebody to manufacture runs. That was Halliburton for them. They couldn't stop turning the ball over. That was Halliburton. They was looking for somebody to create plays for other people. That was Halliburton. They were desperately missing his impact when they needed to score and must score situations late third quarter, early fourth quarter. So yes, this is number three for my book. All right, four and five. What do we got here?
All right, here we go. Number four, Tommy Fleetwood, okay. The Englishman, in search of his first ever PGA Tour victory. Now, I know you guys talked about this a little bit on Russo and Rizzo.
Right.
CCAT gave it a shout-out. I don't think you understand how big of a choke job this was on Sunday. He entered Sunday at the Travelers Championship with a three-stroke lead. Had just shot a 65 the previous day. He is a little bit wary during the round. He goes into the final hole, up one stroke, blows it with a three-putt bogey. Ooh. As Keegan Bradley birdies the hole. A two-shot swing, and Fleetwood loses the championship. Keegan Bradley wins it. The victory goes to the Team USA Ryder captain, who now has a chance to be playing in the Ryder Cup as captain, but an all-time choke for a
That's
veteran.
Very Fleetwood. That's very Fleetwood.
It's unbelievable. He has the most top 10 finishes.
He's consistent. He is consistent.
A victory.
Yeah, he's consistent. He's always in the mix, but oh my God. Talk about working against yourself.
And if you watched it, there was a singular moment where you just knew something wrong was going to happen.
Yeah, I didn't see that. I didn't see the final round. I was traveling 18th yesterday.
18th hole, both guys drive into the fairway. All right, now it's just the approach shot. Fleetwood's farther back, so he goes first. He's holding the club in his hand. He's taking the practice swings. He's about to approach the ball. He looks at his caddy, and I don't know what he says, but somehow he switches clubs.
Can't do that. Bad mojo.
And it comes up way short.
Wow.
And Keegan Bradley stuffs it to 5 feet. Fleetwood has to putt. Fleetwood's putt is not even close. It's outside of Bradley. So Fleetwood now has to putt again for par just to force the playoff. Misses the 5-footer too. Bradley makes it, and that's the tournament.
Oh.
It was the wildest thing. And
can't
this is all
for a month after
this
that.
Is all Sunday before the NBA Finals.
Yeah, that's a great lead-in. How about that?
I'm looking at my wife like, Kira, we've already had a day, and wow. I have yet to watch the NBA Finals. Anyway, so Fleetwood's choke. The fourth headline, you've got 4 and 5 left.
That's four.
Yep.
You're going to do Trump at 5, aren't you? We're doing the ranking of our importance of the headlines this weekend. That's number 4. That's a crazy story. That's number 4. I didn't know the actual shot-by-shot description. I knew what happened, but the shot-by-shot description, wow, fascinating.
The story is unbelievable.
Terrible. That's got to be number 4 in my book. I hate leaving number 5 as the 5th slot. What do we got here?
To make your parlay 0-for-2 on the weekend, the LSU Tigers down Coastal Carolina in 2 straight games in the College Baseball World Series. The Tigers are now in second place alone with the most College Baseball World Series titles with 8.
I almost nailed it. I think this should be 4. I'm going to have to put it at 5. I'm okay with that. I think this probably should have been 4 because the SEC has now won 6 straight College World Series. They're a dominant conference in terms of college baseball. I thought the Coastal Carolina would play better. And, you know, Coastal Carolina is highlighted by, you know, their manager getting kicked out of the game.
It was the first second inning.
And the first base coach, too, completely derailed the game. And then the second, it was never really that competitive. LSU's pitching dominated in the first game. Second game, it was 5-1 before you could blink in the fourth inning. And then it's too much of a lead to overcome. And the highlight of that College World Series was Arkansas blowing the game against LSU to give them a chance to run to it in that, what was it, 5-3 in the ninth inning. And then they dropping a bloop in left field, yeah.
I still think it's, what's his name with the 19 strikeout no-hitter?
With Arkansas, yeah.
Yeah, I forget what his name was
I believe his name was Cade.
Yeah.
You should know that.
I really should know this.
I believe his name was Cade.
I'm saying he's the highlight of the World Series,
right,
and I forget his name.
That was Arkansas losing was a huge highlight of the entire thing, and then the 19Ks, you can't beat that. So this would be number 5 in my book. I'm okay with where my ranking light up. I probably would have flipped 4 and 5 if I had the opportunity to. I don't think I completely nailed it, but I have no problem with how I ranked.
So I did a little bit of a social experience here. This is my 1 through 5. I gave you my headlines 1 through 5, and I was curious to see if you would switch anything up. So,
okay.
But it seems like
we're on the same page. And you watched the golf live. I did not watch the golf live, so that's where I get burned there. I didn't necessarily see it live in the flesh.
Makes sense. I like this segment, though. We can keep this up a little bit more, I think.
Absolutely. All right, that's interesting. 1 through 5. Last week, you gave me all the lower-tier ones early.
Yep.
And then this week, you gave me all the higher-tier ones early. So I'm curious. Now you're going to start to mix it up.
Yeah.
So I'm very curious to see how Cade handles that. Anna Jar and Levine, we're sitting in the Anna Jar and Levine accident attorneys right now. Anna Jar and Levine, I'm telling you, with car accidents, truck accidents, if you slip and fall, have an accident of any kind, my friends Mark Anajar and Glenn Levine, they got your back. I know they got my back. They could get yours today, and they don't even charge you unless you win. They fight to get you the maximum compensation that you deserve. Glenn Levine even had my back when I was doing the half Ironman because he's somebody with experience in doing this stuff. He gave me his bike bag, and all of a sudden, I get to use his bike bag to travel with it to Boulder, Colorado 2 weeks ago. That's how much he has my back. That's the insane part. Call Anna Jar and Levine today to get that free consultation. And don't settle for just any attorney. Demand Anna Jar and Levine, because that's the Anna Jar and Levine difference. All it takes is one phone call. Pick up the phone. Dial 1-800-747-FREE. Call 1-800-747-3733. Take back control of your life today with Anna Jar and Levine. We'll make a couple picks against the spread. Get into a little, should the Heat have gotten involved in the Kevin Durant sweepstakes? Or did the Heat... did they dodge a bullet here, avoiding the 37-year-old superstar? We'll get into that and more next. Stick around for it. Sunday Huddle presented by Hard Rock Bet on a Monday edition of ESPN 106.3.
Let's go. Double right, scat right, double cowboy. Double right, scat right, double cowboy.
This is Sunday Huddle with Colin Russo, presented by Hard Rock Bet.
Sunday Huddle on a Monday edition, June the 23rd, 2025, with Colin Russo, Cade Chums into the City Place Studios in downtown West Palm Beach, streaming live on YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter / X at ESPN West Palm. Hard Rock Bet, it's your place to get started on a sportsbook. If you're somebody like me a couple months ago, didn't necessarily know how to navigate a sportsbook, well, that's why Hard Rock caters to you. It also caters to the player that's experienced, looking for a lot, demanding a lot out of their sportsbook. It's best because it covers both ends of the spectrum. If you're brand new, looking to navigate, looking to learn, they have you covered. If you're experienced, you want to put together a complicated parlay, take advantage of promo boosts, profit boosts, go check out the Discover page, see what other users are putting together. They got you covered there as well. Put as little as $1, put as a big parlay together, include player props, include the futures, have some fun with it. That's what Hard Rock Bet has to offer. And the best part above all is you get $100 back, up to $100 back in bonus bets if and when your first bet does not hit. That first bet can be a parlay, a prop, an over, whatever game you want, any game you choose. You want it, they got it. They got you covered on Hard Rock Bet. Offered by the Seminole Tribe of Florida. Must be 21 plus, physically present in Florida. The wager terms and conditions apply. Considered by gambling, call 1-888-ADMINUTE. Before we blitz the book in a couple of minutes, we mentioned it earlier. Kevin Durant traded from the Phoenix Suns to the Houston Rockets. This is going to be his third team on this sort of journeyman tour he has taken ever since he left Golden State. And he kind of, you know, burned down both the organizations that he was with the Brooklyn Nets, who are one of the worst teams in the NBA with not a big budding future. And then the Phoenix Suns, who also lobbied a lot of their future in favor of Kevin Durant. And now they are in a very peculiar spot. They still got Booker, but it's just not a team with a ton of assets. Now he goes to the Rockets, who have a ton of assets. He's going to a team that's already well put together with a great coach. And I think he's a seamless fit. Now, Kate, do you look at this trade and think the Heat should have been this team? The Heat should have been this team that to go scoop Durant with this opportunity that he was going to be given. You know, Jalen Green's a good player. They didn't ask for the house. They asked for a good player and some draft capital, and that's exactly what they got. Do you think that the Heat missed an opportunity here?
I think the Heat have missed every opportunity when a star goes by.
That's a different conversation than Kevin Durant specifically. So before we get into the Heat totality, do you think they missed out with the Durant move?
Of course they did. Of course they did. You look at what the Rockets gave the Suns, you could have done that. But there's enough pieces.
You'd probably have to give up Hero.
Okay.
I agree. That is a fair response. Okay, that's fine.
Right?
Let me show you the door.
I'll give them Adebayo. Honestly, I don't think he's all of that.
So you have no allegiance to anybody on this team?
No.
Okay.
Should I?
Probably not. I would say Adebayo, you don't give up. Adebayo's a good defensive big. It's a pretty prized position, but I understand your point.
But how big is he? I'm going to be honest. How big is Adebayo?
Fine. You think the Heat would be better off with Durant on their team? Let's say in exchange for Hero, you lose Ware.
So you say
maybe another player, some draft capital. You think that's worth it?
You say better off?
Better off.
Yes. Championship contending? Absolutely not.
We talked about the Eastern Conference is beatable, takeable. So because of that, there's something you got to consider there as well.
I would say that, yes. But also, Durant has needed help.
Right. He doesn't carry it. He's a slot. Put him in a good spot. He will get you his, 29-7-6. He will be efficient. He's going to play good team basketball. He's a good plug-and-play player. He's a mercenary.
Yep.
That's why it works so well with Golden State.
And I don't necessarily think he would do that in Miami. I think people would target him. You'd see him double-teamed all the time. And because you gave your assets away just to get the guy, then the rest of your team is sitting ducks.
Phoenix Suns. That's what the Phoenix Suns were. And he had Booker sitting there.
I think the Phoenix Suns would have been a lot better had they not had Bradley Beal.
Right, that's true.
We missed a big story of the Phoenix Suns if Bradley Beal isn't there because they gave a haul for Bradley Beal, right, and it hurt them in the end.
Yeah, they were a deep team. Ayton, Bridges, Cam Johnson. They had Chris Paul. They had Booker. They had bench pieces, and they opted to go the star route, sort of like the NBA of old, the NBA of 10, 15 years ago, and they got burned because of it. Because you can't put all your eggs in three baskets. Not in the current climate of the NBA. Not how the CBA is built. Not how the market caps are built. You can't do it. It just doesn't work. It's not a good business model in this stage. Now, I don't look at this. Yes. Should the Heat have tried to make a move? Maybe. Do I think they would have? No. So I don't necessarily, I don't think they would have given up one of Hero or Adebayo. And I don't think they could have put together a package outside of those two that would have rivaled what that Rockets package was. Jalen Green, they might flip Jalen Green, but Jalen Green at least is a young player who could score, who is athletic, who is, you know, plays a premium position, who still probably has his best basketball ahead of him. If the Heat gave up Tyler Hero and Khloe Ware, I think that would have been a better package than what Green is, actually. But weirdly enough, I just they wouldn't have given up either of the two, Adebayo or Hero. And I agree with your point that Durant doesn't necessarily offer as much as he did being a solo star option.
No.
It's not his game. It's not his game anymore. Let him be a compliment to everybody else. Well, I think he's a perfect fit with the Rockets.
Yes.
Perfect fit with the Rockets. Kate Chums and Colin Russo, let's bounce around a little bit. Let's blitz the book with Hard Rock Bet. All right, Kate, how we did this during football season is we tracked together our picks based on, and we tracked the records of it throughout the football season.
Yes.
We're going to do that again. We're going to do it with baseball this time around because we're at the point now we're going to have to get creative with some of our picks. Today, we'll add some other picks in other leagues when it becomes apparent to. But week by week, we'll definitely pick, let's do four baseball picks, and let's make some caveats to that. So number one, you can't just choose outright every game. Let's do two outrights per week we could take, right? To win up straight.
Yep, sounds good.
And then you got another one. Let's do the over-under on runs.
Always fun.
And then lastly, let's add in a player prop.
Okay.
And on top of that, since it's topical, since we're in the thick of it, let's take a look at some of the NBA futures and let's have some fun with that. Yeah, does that work?
Yeah, that sounds good to me.
So let's add the NBA champion for next year and then we'll do the four baseball. Let's start with our baseball. And I took this earlier today, so I'd like to take it again, to be honest with you. Seattle Mariners to win outright today against the Minnesota Twins. That will be my first pick.
That's
Cade,
about right.
What is your first pick?
Let me go with, I am copping out for the honest answer here, but let me just go ridiculously safe. I'll take the Brewers outright over the Pirates.
Fair enough. I saw this team play over the weekend. They could score. One of the best offenses in the MLB. Chicago Cubs over 8.5 runs. I'm going to get my over out of the way right now before I go to my next outright. Cade?
Let me take the under on the Red Sox Angels. Set currently at 8.5. I'll take the under with a little bit of value, plus 105.
Yankees to win outright tonight on the road at Great American Park in Cincinnati. Minus 125. Give me the New York Yankees tonight to win in a Monday matchup.
And then I'll take one more as well.
You got to take your outright. You can take the same. We can take the same picks, too.
I took an outright. I took the Brewers over the Pirates.
Right, but you got to take two outrights, right?
Two outrights.
Or unless you want to take your player prop right now, if you have something in mind.
No, let's go outright. You got the big game tonight, which is Braves at the Mets. Braves currently favored in this one, but I just heard Rizzo go on a serious rant today about how the Braves are looking awful. Man, I wish I knew my baseball better. I'll go with the underdog. Give me the Mets plus 130 outright over the Braves at home.
I'm gonna stay on that game too. My player prop starting on the mound tonight is Paul Blackburn for the Mets. I know he's still sort of getting his feet under him. I'm taking over 2.5 earned runs for Paul Blackburn tonight against the Braves. Braves actually not playing that bad. I know Rizzo was anti them. Braves not playing that bad, and the Mets specifically are playing terrible. So because of that, I am taking Paul Blackburn to continue those woes, allow over 2.5 earned runs.
We've got a little bit of a quote-unquote shootout today. Between the Chicago Cubs and the St. Louis Cardinals. I'm going to take an over-under on a runs. Give me Seiya Suzuki of the Chicago Cubs over his 0.5 runs.
I like it.
I just need one more run out of Suzuki. It's minus 120.
Okay, no problem. All right, now let's shift over to the NBA. NBA champion, we'll go through some of these odds for the 2025-2026 winners. OKC, obviously the favorite or the best odds there, plus 230. The Knicks and the Cavs are second and third at plus 700 and plus 750. The Houston Rockets are plus 800. The Minnesota Timberwolves are plus 1,400. Cade, do you have something in mind here that you like?
I am going to look like such a loser. I don't see the Thunder. I have to take the Thunder here. We just talked about how weak the East was. The West is going to fight amongst themselves. The Thunder should have the number one seed. They'll blow out whatever the eight seed is. Then you've got two hard series against the next two Western Conference teams, and then the Eastern Conference team shouldn't be a problem. I'm banking on the Thunder to win two at-home series in next year's Western Conference playoffs. I'll take the Thunder plus 230. I know it's not a ton of money. I know we've had seven straight different finals winners. But can you take anyone else confidently right now? Especially, there's two teams right here that are in second and third place with the East because the rest of the East is so poor right now in the Knicks and the Cavaliers. The Rockets obviously have something. I don't trust the Timberwolves whatsoever. The Spurs are a fun one out of the West, but nope. I'm so confident in the Thunder right now.
I like the Rockets odds here. Plus 800. I don't hate that. I don't think that's going to be... just for the odds sake of it, plus 800 would be my pick if I were taking a team to win for next year. Would be the Houston Rockets. Why not? Because I think they made a great move there. I don't know if that's a championship-ready team, but I like the coach. I think they got champions on the roster. They got a perfect mixture of veteran leadership and young assets. Fine by me. Give me that. I don't think any team in the Eastern Conference can compete with the Thunder, too. I agree the Thunder is a safe pick, but plus 230 on a year-in-advance futures bet. Oh, you just don't get good odds out of that. I don't like that.
Oh, for sure.
That was our Blitz the Book presented by Hard Rock Bet. Four baseball picks, one basketball pick. That's how we close that out. NBA regular season. You think Doncic was the biggest story the entire year?
Had to be. Had to be. The way it went down, not necessarily that it did go down. The way, the mysteriousness around, is that a word?
The bombshell.
The mystery. The complete enclosure of the entire deal. The fact that he wasn't being sold to anyone, the fact that he wasn't being shopped or discussed. It happened on a Saturday at 10:30 Eastern time at night out of nowhere. You woke up the next morning, think it was a fake tweet. Had to have been the story of the NBA.
That was probably the biggest story of the year. That's Cade Chumson. Appreciate him for keeping us up over the air. Colin Russo here saying so long. We'll be back at it on Sunday this week. Our 10 a.m. for Sunday huddle. So appreciate everybody staying on board. We got Russo and Rizzo and Theoretically Speaking coming up tomorrow on our local programming 2 to 4, 4 to 6. Stay happy, stay healthy, stay focused. It's been Colin Russo, ESPN 106.3.
The preceding program was paid for in full by Hard Rock Bet. Advice and opinions expressed during this program were solely those of the guests or hosts of this program and not of ESPN 106.3 or Good Karma Brands.